Hello and welcome to part two of our conversation with Harry Corris. I hope you enjoyed the first episode. If you haven't listened to that, go check it out. And here is part two. I'm not going to jump too much into it. Enjoy and have a magical week.
Harry, I've got another question here from one of our other team, Marg, who actually lives about a couple of Ks, just sort of, what is it, west of us. What are some core values we need in this new sort of COVID world / life that will benefit our leadership growth? Core values.
Yeah, this. I mean, you know, we've all lived it now, and we're still living it. Apparently, that's still going around and all that, whatever. But I just kept telling him, just be kinder. Be kinder in a world that's now become, that's become apparently more aggressive, more everything, you know, all this sort of stuff. Give more, you know. Restore your faith. I've been telling so many people about it. And it's not about Bible bashing. I'm not telling you get the Bible, start reading it and do whatever. Whatever works for you, restoring your faith. And don't be that doomsday, you know. You're going to take the bloody, what's it called, the vaccine, and it's going to track you and you're going to die and this happened, that happened. You may die. You may cop a bloody all this. It probably will happen. And if you don't want to take it, don't bloody take it. Whatever. You know? Don't be the doomsday person. And you know what? We're moving. Times are moving. We're moving ahead. Is it a new, they're calling it the new world order and all this? I don't know. I'm not involved in all that. All I know is that things have changed, right? Be changed for good. Adapt to it. Don't fall into that. Don't do that. We hate the government. We hate everyone. And then it starts, you've been part of that. And if you don't like him, you don't like him. You're entitled to that. You can say, you can have your opinion, and your opinions may stack up in the polls, maybe not, right? But be kinder, you know, just find it, dig deep. These are the days that people need you. Suicide's so high. Big construction union that you all know, they're losing one a day, you know?
Yeah.
It's not good out there. You know, there is a lot of pain, but do the good people add to it, or do the good people pick up the ones that are down and take them on this journey? It's our job to grab someone along and say, okay, I got it. I know. I get it. You know? But taking that drug, drinking that grog, doing this thing, that's not going to make it better. You know? And I think if we all did that during these times, then we'll see the light. We'll come out of this. There's no problem. I'm not saying we're going to cure this bloody disease. It's going to be there. Oh, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. Move on, you know. You could bloody get hit by a car tomorrow, you know. If you get up and whatever, maybe you can't walk, push the wheelchair. It is what it is. What are you going to do? Such is life, right?
Yeah. I love the, thanks, Harry, the idea of being kinder. You know, kindness is a commodity. I mean, the ridiculous thing about being kind is it's free. It costs absolutely nothing.
Zero.
It costs absolutely nothing. But I'm curious about at what point do we let go of our ego? Because I wonder whether part of the challenge for a lot of people at the moment is that, you know, the old cliche about if you don't give something back to yourself, you've got nothing to give to others. If you're not kind to yourself to start with, you've got nothing to give to others. So do you get a sense that sometimes part of the challenge for us is, and I don't know whether it's ego, but there are too many people who are not only hurting, but they don't have the courage to put their hand up and say, hey, I need a hand. I need help. Because if they did that, then other people would reach out and say, please let me help you, because it's a wonderful thing to do.
Yes.
And then you've got two people, or perhaps more, who are then able to go out and be kind to others.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. You know, so many people don't. And when they do, it's way too late. And studies have shown, proven that men, we're the worst for it. You know, we're the tough blokes, right? Don't tell us.
Yep.
We go alone and we do whatever we got to do. And I've got a guy at the moment who's, and you know, he's very bitter and twisted because everything's been taken off him, including the children. And, you know, he said lots of things have happened, right? But I said, well, this is the time you need to start rebuilding the new you, because the person you were with that family, it's not going to happen again. It's done.
Yep.
So start rebuilding. And you know, we don't ask for help. A lot of people don't. And it's bigger now than ever that people are reaching out for food banks, and things are going to get tougher with this recession, the media, you know, all the garbage that's out there. And people are not ready for the cold winter in that space, not ready for that fight, not ready to take that pain on. They can't deal with the day to day. Some people can't even, you know, they hate even driving to work because they're irritated in the traffic when they should really be taking a train, right? But this is the time when people have to put their hand up. And if you see somebody in pain, as I said earlier, try to give them a little bit of that medicine. You know, it's a tricky one, Graham. Sometimes, you know, I've got clients that cheaters, people that are cheating, drug takers. I call it chemical imbalance.
Yep. You know,
chemicals to feel good, chemicals to come good, chemicals to go to the gym, chemicals to bloody go to sleep, chemicals to be a different person, chemicals to look good, you know. So there's this huge chemical imbalance, right, that's floating around our world and it seems to be okay. Well, then what happens when you're alone? Then you've got to put yourself back together again and go and be that person again and fake it again, and until what happens in the end? Disaster. You run out of money, you run out of friends, you're fake friends, you've got nobody, nobody wants to be around you. Always talk about it. You know, if you be a cheater and a shit person and all this sort of stuff, what happens? You contaminate. Nobody wants to be around contamination. You smell, you stink, nobody wants to touch you. Oh, I'm not going to go near you, right? This is what happens. And you'll find it. And you see this, unfortunately, with the people that have done it tough and ended up on the streets. Nobody wants to go near them. They smell, you know, you see that. It's a fact of life.
Yeah.
So, but again, Graham, I say this, sometimes we don't have a choice, but I believe a lot of the times we do, and we make bad choices. And a lot of people don't talk about that either.
No, it's not an easy topic. But that, yeah, part of that goes back to what you're saying before about you know, what we call the short-term pain versus long-term gain. And so many people at the moment are doing the opposite, where we want the quick fix.
Yes.
And what's going to happen 10 years down the road, we'll worry about that when we get there.
Yeah.
I wanted to really quickly go back, if I can, to that before we wrap up, to maybe just explain the check your face thing, because I think it's actually hugely relevant in the context of what we've been talking about today.
So it's something that we do in workshops, Harry, where when we're talking about resilience, and particularly leaders, yeah, it's really helpful before you walk through the door at work, if you're walking through or if you're getting online with your team, to just check your face. So is it a face that's welcoming, that's kind, or is it a face that really I shouldn't be showing up today because it's just not going to inspire, it's going to be contagious but not in a positive way. So that's sort of where that came from. And you always radiate the beautiful, kind face, so you don't need to check yours.
Nah, that's brilliant. It's, yeah. A lot of, you know, I was going to say, Graham, as well, that's fantastic, isn't it? You know, that's a real good way to look at everything. And I think, and that goes back to, you know, if you're working in a workplace where there's, you know, whatever, 10, 15, 20 people, 100, who cares? Everyone's watching for everyone's looking out for everyone, you know? And you know whether you got that, the shit face or the good face or the happy face or whatever, and you start that little bit of a conversation that then leads to possibly a counselling session that you realise you've just received or done without even knowing that you've done that, but you've brightened up somebody's day. Like I've got a friend, he keeps saying to me, and we use this a lot, and people say, mate, have a good day. And I say, well, you have a better day, you know. Go, oh, geez, you know, thanks for that, you know. Or if someone's been a terrible person and, you know, you sort of give them the, you know, you make the most important people there, then they really realise how shit they've really been, you know. Kill them with kindness, you know, all these little things that add up to then making the place a better place, not only for everybody else, but for you. Because if you're in a good place, it starts with you, right? I was just going to say, Graham, I was just going to add to one little thing, and that is health, well-being, you know, the health, fit. Get up, go for a bloody walk. Oh, I can't run, my leg hurts. Go for a walk. Oh, I don't like, yeah, well, you know what? Get on your bike, you know, walk around the bloody block, eat one less sugar, drink one less drink. All right, you love doing the drugs. Well, take one less drug, you know. Start with one little thing, one little action, one little thing, you know. I talked about earlier about forgiveness, you know, it's massive. I have found that forgiveness is almost taking over everything that I'm currently doing. Because everyone I listen to are telling me, oh, you know, that bloody bitch, that asshole, he done, everybody's done everything, right? Other than you, me, you know. Forgive, okay, got it. Happened in 1952, mate. It's done. And I'll tell you this, I said a funny thing the other day, and I'll tell you, they were in hysterics. It was a big company. This is the company on Monday. I said, mate, Greek background. I said, the bloody Wogs, we are the worst at it. And let me tell you why. They were cringing. The HR guy went like this, you know. I said, I'm allowed to say that. Let me tell you this. Some poor bastard dies up the road, you know. John Postopoulopoulos, you know, Mr. Popoulopoulos up the road, hasn't spoken to his brother in 30 years over a pot plant. The brother turns up to the funeral. Oh, my brother's dead, you know. What happened in 30 years? He spoke to nobody. It's too late when they're dead. You go to a bloody monument, you're going to go say sorry to the monument. Job's done, mate, you know. And I talk about this forgiveness thing because it drags everybody down and it breeds negativity. Then it breeds failure. Then the families can't talk and you can't talk to the neighbor because you broke the fence. You know, whatever. He parked in your spot. Big deal, you know. Like, but it's so hard to forgive because, you know what? Does that make you weak? It's ego again, Graham. We're back to the ego, right? Oh, I'm tough. I'm not going to, you know, you back off John will talk about, you know, at a major incident and people are watching you, you know, like, oh, you see what you're going to do here, tough guy. But you're backing your weight, controlling the situation because, you know what, you just need to get a few dollars, go home and get it done. You know, who's the tough guy when somebody's in your house at 4 o'clock in the morning? Then you have that conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, your wife will be a lot stronger than you. You know, people don't realize the dynamics of what happens in life, you know, but forgiveness, health, bloody sugar killing us. And all this. Who doesn't like an ice cream? Arnold, every night we finish, we're about to have an ice cream, right? And we got told off. Who doesn't like ice cream? You need to go see the doctor if you don't like ice cream, right? But you can't have it every night, right? And if you do, suffer the consequences.
Mm.
That's the reality, right?
Yep.
So I know I'm dragging it on, but the other one.
Not at all. I'd love the whole ego thing and social media has just made this so much worse. But so many of us seem to spend an inordinate amount of time worrying about how others perceive us. And it reminds me of Wayne Dyer once said it. We got to see him at a conference actually in Melbourne years ago, and he was talking. And he said, you know, other people's opinion of me. And none of my business.
That's it.
Brilliant. So, I don't care. Yeah. And it took me a while to wrap my head around that, and I'm still sort of working towards getting to that point. But nowadays, there are very, very few people on planet Earth whose opinion about me actually matters. And I wonder whether, you know, all of us sometimes need to. I expect a lot of this is, again, just the ego thing. But as you were saying before, it's going back to who you are. Getting rid of the fake stuff and stop pretending to be somebody that you think somebody else might like or appreciate or value or post about on TikTok, whatever that is.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's called TikTok. You know? Time's ticking down, right? What a great business. What a great concept, you know?
Yeah. But
I got you. You know, it's, but again, you know, people pick on social media and all that, but it's up to you.
What you
select, what you want to look, who you want to follow, what you want to look at, who do you want to be? You know, our good friend Simon Hammond, B-Brand, said it best at one of his events, and he said, speak to your children. And in fact, it was speak to your daughters before the beauty industry does. You know, and...
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, you know, and we get it, all right? But you mention it at a con, and some people take offence to it. Guess what? I like that. I like that confrontation because that's the truth. That's the reality of, you know... Do I mix here? Friday night drinks are gone. It's Friday night powders. I tell them. There's no shame in my conversations. For me, it's hard, straight to the throat. Let me tell you about it. This is the problem. You're paying me to be here, so let me tell you the problem. Bang, you know. You don't want to hear it. That's your problem. But decisions, again, we go back to that. And why do they do it, Grant? Ego. They want to fit in. Oh, but it's just this. It's not just that, you know. So...
I think, which sort of comes back. Sorry, how does it come back to the whole tribe thing again? And because brain scientists will tell us that the need to fit in, that belonging thing, is sort of hardwired, and it's a really crucial, really important part of how our brain sort of functions. We like belonging to a tribe. So part of the challenge, again, is finding a better tribe. It's finding the right tribe that's actually going to hold us to account, that's going to expect better behavior and the right behavior and more kindness and no ego or less ego.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And less is more, right? So people forget that, you know. But
yep.
Basics. I'll leave you with this. I said to the bloke the other day, he's talking about work, and he's always on the plane, lives on the plane, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, mate, when's the last time you had a date night? He goes, oh, no, mate, the kids, sports on the weekend, he this, that. So he gave me the 50 excuses why it won't work. And I said, then who are you and your wife in 20 years when these kids are traveling the world having a laugh on you, you know? I said, just pick a day. Have a date night, mate. Find yourself again, you know. Attack each other in the bloody car if you have to, whatever. Just, you know, get back to that old who, why. Don't lose it. And we do.
Yeah.
We all do. It happens. It's just, you know. But ego and tribe, I love it. The tribe.
Yeah, nice.
That's why you're head of security, Graham.
That would be it. Date night for us is tonight, by the way. I think... I'm not sure if Danette's cooking dinner or I am. Doesn't really matter. The good thing about being out here is there's zero takeaway options, which is fantastic. Because the nearest place is like 30 minutes away and Domino's don't come out here, which is a damn good thing. I might just hand back to, and Harry, again, immensely grateful for your time and your wisdom and sharing as you have. But I might just quickly go around the room and just see if there are any sort of final questions or observations. Al, from yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Harry. I think my key takeaway from today is just get back to those simple choices we make each day, not get overwhelmed by the big thing, simple things like a date night or even just having dinner at the table and kindness.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Harry, you mentioned about dinner at the table. I'll tell you this quick 4 second. I've got a story for everything, haven't I, Graham? 4 second story. But a huge company, a huge CEO said to me, he reached out to me a little bit and we're having a conversation. And I mean a very big company, and I'll let you use your imagination, in Australia. And it was about how the kids are shitting him up the wall. That's what he said. No one, I don't know who's home, whatever. And he lives in this huge mansion. And I said, I'll make it easy for you. And I gave him a device where you switch on and it cuts out all your internet. Now, this device is designed to stop car bombs and all that overseas and even here for certain people, but you can't get your hands on them. Anyway, not long story short, I said, when you go home, switch it on, chuck it in the corner of the home. But I said, you've got to be theatric. So you've got to do the theatrics and walk upstairs holding your phone saying, what's going on? Why isn't the bloody internet working? So you've got to be the first one in so that they know that they don't believe you're in on it, right? Fast forward the story, I've seen him probably, I got a call from him actually 3 days later and he said, I've realised that my daughter's got a bloody boyfriend. This happened, the dog this, the wife done that. We've got a new neighbour because they sat and spoke. And he said, he was tearful. You know, he says, it's just made us all realise that that's what needs to happen. And he got, you know, he made the business make a fake phone call and saying, look, the internet's going to be down until, you know, on this day and all this garbage. But then they made it as a, you know, a calendar event. On this day, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to break bread as a family. And that's, but I probably didn't really emphasise on that too, Graham, about breaking bread, how important it is to, you know, sit around that table, old school, bloody break bread, and just doesn't matter what you're eating and what's happening, half an hour, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a toasted sandwich, which is great too. But just to sit, how you going, Alan? You know, what's going on, Johnny? What's happening? You know, just a real simple. And then we can all go off and do whatever we've got to do, you know? So, yeah.
Well, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing that one, Harry.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks,
I'll send
Harry.
You one of those devices, Alan.
Love your work, Harry. Thank you. John, anything to add, just wrapping up?
Well, for me, it's along those lines of just getting back to basics. And it reminds me, there's a poem, and I think it's called Pick More Flowers or Pick More Daisies. And it's, you know, be kinder, have manners, respect, say please and thank you, share, hold hands when crossing the road. It's all those basic type things that, I don't know, I was taught in kindergarten and through my growing up. But do those basic things right and the rest comes.
Yeah.
Is it that simple?
It's not hard. We all need a reminder. That's all that happens, John.
Yeah. Yeah, don't disagree with you, Harry.
Yeah, we forget. Look, you're out there building the business and you forget, oh, I've got to go home, the kid's birthday, oh, they want us to go to this thing. You can't because you're building the business for the family. You're not doing it, or you're working hard for the family. But along the journey, you forget, they forget you forget them. They, because, you know, and then some people, you know, money takes over everything, the greed, you know, which is, again, just a sin. It's horrendous. You know, I think I posted it the other day, or today, actually this morning, you know, how much is enough sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, agrees.
Thanks, John. Yeah. Harry, Danette, anything to add?
I just think, Harry, you embody what your Life Worldwide is about. You know, that leadership is for everyone. You are so kind. You're so generous. And some of my most fondest memories are breaking bread with you. So, you know, you just walk what you do. And I just wanted to really appreciate that and acknowledge that. So thank you so much for this time today. It's been awesome.
Nah, you're very kind. You're very kind, Danette. You know, like we, yes, you know. We did say, you know, there's a, it's not my saying, it's John Maxwell's saying, and you know this anyway, lots of people meet, very few connect, you know, and you can meet someone, but do you connect with them, you know? I did some of my, the greatest deals that I've ever done was on a plane, the people that I met on a bloody plane, you know?
Yep.
And they took me to some amazing journeys, and I helped them, they helped me, you know? So it's always about that giving, you know? So we don't forget that.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Harry, just wrapping up again, massive thank you for sharing today with us. Just memorable. Every conversation we have with you is special for so many reasons. But I love your, as Danette said, you know, you walk your talk. I love your heart. I love the care that you have for humans and for wanting to make the world a better place. So thank you again for joining us today. And for those who are listening online or might be listening to the podcast later, as always, we're immensely grateful for everybody who's following the Magical Learning Podcast. So thank you very much. And as always, have a magical week.